This is According to Jim with Jim Joyner and Steve Sell, McPherson Sports Talk Show.
Let's do this thing!
Listen Monday through Friday from 12:30 to 1 p.m. on 96.7 FM KBBE or online at midkansasonline.com.
My grandmother's name was Giovanna Domenica Tavanero. When she'd get mad, she'd start spewing in Italian. I never knew what she was talking about.
According to Jim is your home for the McPherson Bullpups.
Ben Pyle with a monster jam! He says in your face, Derby!
College basketball.
Kemba Walker, step back, Walker, party at Kemba! Does it again! UConn wins at the buzzer!
Everything happening in the sports world.
LeBron James with no regard for human life!
And even some things not happening in the sports world.
I mean, they'd take one look at me and they'd say, next! Whatever happened to Ethel?
Now it's time for According to Jim. Here's Jim Joyner and Steve Sell.
Let's do this thing. Another edition of According to Jim on 96.7 FM KBBE or online worldwide at midkansasonline.com. I'm Jim Joyner, and joining me as always, the most popular man in McPherson, Steve Sell. Steve, are you excited for a fun night of basketball that does not involve the Bullpups?
Yeah, I love getting out in the area and seeing our peeps and talking.
Steve's a celebrity. Now, he's the most popular man in McPherson, but the people of Inman, the people of Elyria, the Dridgers of Mount Ridge, they live for Steve Sell.
Well, I don't know about that. But
it's just a little smaller sample size.
I do have a lot of fun going out and covering area teams. It's a different brand of basketball. One thing that I always get excited about is how much the smaller school teams are supported. Not that the McPherson teams aren't supported, but boy, some of those fans from the smaller school teams, I mean, they live vicariously through their basketball and football teams. So it is fun to go out, and you and I are going to head down to the Eagle Dome.
Eagle Dome.
Yeah, Eagle Dome in Elyria. We're going to check out the number one ranked Elyria Christian School boys undefeated champions of the Center Invitational, the Cougar Classic, and see our main man, Zach Goodrich, and watch his team, and we'll take in some of the girls' game of Coach Fields, who has promised us walking tacos, and he says, hey, we will take care of you if you get down here. So we're going to go down to the Eagle Dome tonight, and of course, Canton Galva, my good buddy Shane Duncan, coaches the Canton Galva boys. Dean Scott does the girls. And, you know, Canton Galva girls have not had too bad a season. They're right, you know, just under 500. It's been a tough year for Shane's boys team. They are so young, but boy, do they have a lot of promise. I know he's excited about the young kids he's got. He's playing a lot of freshmen and sophomores, and that only bodes well for the future.
I know that the Mid-America Classic used to just be a countywide tournament, but I think this year could be a pretty good year if we had some of the area boys teams play each other, because the Heston boys are good. Smoky Valley's boys are good. Elyria Christian, the number one team in 1A2.
Heston and Smoky are playing each other tonight in Lindsberg.
Mound Ridge has a good team this year. This would be a really fun year for all those teams. Maybe they could play it like at the YMCA or something. But there are some really good players on every team. I think the Bullpups would probably be the favorites.
Yeah.
Some good teams, and I think it would be a battle for second place.
And it seems like every team's got a couple of really good players. You look at Mound Ridge, Noah Eichelberger, and Dylan Vogts the other night. Both were over 30 in a game. I mean, 36.
It's only happened once or twice this year with Ben Pyle.
36 for Vogts and 31 for Eichelberger. And then, of course, you look at Elyria, and you got Tyler Thiessen, you got Aiden Fields, you got Caleb Frays. You look at Little River with the Garrison brothers and Levi Swenson. Smoky Valley now has they got the band back together. Brett Heitschmidt is back. They've got really their starting five is really, really good. And, of course, Heston has Reese Niebel, one of the top players in the area. You know, just looking at all the area schools, Inman, Peyton Frays, and Mason Thiessen, you won't find hardly a better 1-2 punch other than Vogts and Eichelberger. That's going to be a shootout. I think those two teams still have to play one more time. And, you know, that's two teams that have two really great players on both teams. So we got a lot of good area basketball on the boys' side. The girls' side, maybe not quite so much. You know, Mound Ridge has been a state tournament team quite a bit in recent years. They're not quite there this year. They're still pretty good. Heston girls, pretty solid. I just saw Matt Richardson the other night. He was watching his daughter Cammie play at Matt College. She had a great game for the Bulldogs. But, you know, as far as our girls' teams, we don't probably have the teams that will, you know, be a state factor. Now, Little River girls are having a nice year. There was a time they were 1-20, and I think they're like 9-5 now. So they have really turned it around.
Well, we've got a fun night ahead as well as a fun show today. We have a lot of things to talk about. We've been hyping up this show all week. We've got the Super Bowl to talk about, the big game.
Big game.
But most importantly, we get to talk about some prop bets a little later on in the show. Now, for those of you that might be saying, what the heck is a prop bet if you're not gambling addicts like myself? The prop bets are...
You're only gambling in spirit, though. You don't actually plunk your money down.
Sure, we'll go ahead and say that.
Yeah.
So the prop bets are... They're bets that aren't who's going to win the game.
Who's going to get the first turnover and things like that.
What will the first turnover be? How long will the national anthem be?
Who will score the first touchdown?
They've got all sorts of things.
Yeah.
And it is really fun to just see what people are thinking. And so,
the over-under. How many points are going to be scored? Is it going to be over? What is the over-under? I have not seen this
year. The over-under is 48.5.
Okay, then I would be taking the under because when I reveal my prediction, I don't have 48 points being scored.
That's been sort of the trend, and I saw earlier the line this week was New England by 5.5. Well, it has been pushed all the way down to New England by 4, so people are loving the Eagles.
Well, maybe they read Sell on Sports Day, and I said how close a game it could be because Philadelphia's defense will keep them in the game.
Yeah, they got to fade that pick.
Yeah.
Well, we'll talk a little bit about the prop bets. We'll talk a little bit about the Super Bowl. We have Big 12 basketball coming up this weekend. After last weekend, they had the SEC Big 12 Challenge, and so we didn't have as many good games to talk about. But before we do that, I got to keep my eye on a game last night that you did not, and that was Wichita State at Temple Philly. You got to see the first part of
it. I got to see until about 10 minutes ago in the game. I went down to Tiger Town, checked out Tony Romero's Central Christian College Tigers last night.
Well, the Shockers did not win it in regulation. They went to overtime, and they lost to Temple 81-79. And we haven't been able to talk about Wichita State as much recently because, number one, KU and K-State have been pretty good, and they've had some big games over the last 3 weeks. But Wichita State has really struggled in American Athletic Conference play. Well, and going into this year, I didn't think they would struggle the way that they have because they made the transfer from the Missouri Valley to the American, and everybody went, well, it's a whole other ball game, which it is. But I kind of thought Wichita State, especially after seeing them at the beginning of the year, they would still be able to run away with it. But now they're dealing with Houston. They're dealing with SMU. They're dealing with Cincinnati, who's 9-0 and 22-2.
And they have two games with Cincinnati still to come.
So the Shockers are 7-3 in conference play. And the depth of this conference is good enough that they will get a couple of teams in. It might be three. It could be two, depending on how they all bang each other up and see what happens. But Wichita State is not playing very well right now. They just haven't been able to put together a really good game. And after watching them at the beginning of the season, I was thinking that team was legitimately one of the best in the country. They're just all over the place.
I have three reasons. One, they're not very good defensively. And they, even though they've got, you know, Shaq Morris and Darryl Willis Jr., Kelly inside, they're not very good on defense. Second, Connor Francamp has just disappeared. I mean, I don't know how many minutes he played last night, but Austin Reeves was getting as many minutes as Connor Francamp. And then the reason that I don't think people talk about, and I think it's legit, but a lot of people say, oh, these are kids, the travel. They're making a lot longer trips than they used to make. They're also going into arenas they've never played before.
That's true.
In the Missouri Valley, you know, you play in the same place every year. You kind of get used to it. They're going to, like last night, Temple. They've never been to Temple.
You got to go to Philly.
Got to go.
The hard streets
of
Philly.
They didn't play at the Palestra, though. I love the Palestra. But, you know, you're going to Temple. You're going to Cincinnati. You're going to South Florida, Central. I mean, all those Florida schools that they got in there. I don't even know how many Florida schools they have in that conference, but they go, you know, Houston's not a long trip, but you know, an SMU, but you know, they're making a lot longer trips. And say what you will,
UConn,
they're playing in foreign territory. It's like a neutral site, you know. Well, I shouldn't say neutral site game, but it's like these are places they're just not accustomed to, and it takes a little while. The backgrounds in all these places are different, you know, it takes a while to get used to accustomed, but the Shockers aren't playing good defense. Landry Shamet, who is just I mean, he looked like he was ready for the NBA the first 10 games of the season. He finally made a three-pointer. What did he miss, like 17 threes in a row?
Wasn't great.
Yeah, and he just looks like, to me, a guy that's lost some confidence. You saw Connor Francamp sitting on the bench. He had his hands, you know, his face in his hands, kind of like he was moping. And Austin Reeves, of course, is just going off. But there's too much talent on this team in that conference they're playing. And I could see this happening in the Big 12, but the American Conference is not quite the Big 12, and I still think the Shockers should be playing better. To lose at home like they did, you know, that tells me that there's some problems on this team. They're a little bit of a slide right now.
The other thing that I haven't really heard anybody talk about is that the American Conference, even though it's not tremendous in basketball by any means, there are a lot of programs within this conference that have a rich history when it comes to basketball. And so with that, you have coaches that have a pedigree of knowing how to win, even though they're not doing it right now. You have fans that come out to games. And when you're playing Drake and Southern Illinois and all those schools that don't really give you as good of
Bradley.
A game. Yeah, Bradley. It makes it a little bit easier on you. But to go to Cincinnati in an environment that loves basketball,
Ooh,
gets
hostile.
A good team. Houston, look at the tradition that Houston has.
Slamma Gemma.
You look at Memphis. What a tradition they
Larry
have.
Larry Keenan and Larry Finch.
They
I
used
love
to play
those.
At the Pyramid.
I've been by the Pyramid. When my sister lived in Memphis, I went by the Pyramid. I don't even know if it's even still there.
Connecticut. Connecticut is in the bottom half of this league, and Connecticut has won two national championships
they just won a national decade. Yeah,
they
just won a national championship about 3 or 4 years ago when Kevin Ollie took over.
2014, 2011,
yeah.
as well as 2004 and 1999.
Yeah. You know, they've got a great tradition. So the Shockers
Temple.
Still.
Yeah. I mean, that's a good.
John Chaney.
It's a big-time program.
Played that crazy zone defense he used to always play, that 3-2 matchup zone.
And so I think that on the surface this year, it shouldn't make that much of a difference. But like you said, you're going into places that are unfamiliar. You're not used to playing against these teams. You've never played them before, and so you don't know how to scout them as well. Where Bill Self, he knows how to play against Oklahoma State. He knows how to play against the Texas style. He knows how to play against Bruce Weber. You get accustomed to each other. Similar to the Bullpups, they're now in their sixth season of the third division of the AVCTL. Now, I think they could probably be all right even in their first season. But you get used to playing these teams.
Yeah.
You know their style. And that's why they have lost one game over the last 5.5 years combined.
Yeah, combined. The Bullpup boys have never lost in Division III, and Bullpup girls have lost one. That was when Jessica Steffen was at Bueller, and you know they were pretty good that year.
So Wichita State has some room to grow up, and I don't mean that by maturing, but getting better and getting back to what they've been doing. They don't play this weekend, but they will play at Memphis on Tuesday.
And you know Marcus McDuffie, he missed, what, 10 or 11 games?
Missed a bunch
They're
of
They're trying
first
to
half.
Incorporate him back into the lineup. Some other, you know, what's happened to Zach Brown? He doesn't play very much anymore. It's like Greg Marshall, who is a terrific coach, by the way. It's amazing Wichita State's been able to keep him. I kind of thought an SEC or an ACC or a Big 12 would have.
Everybody thought he was going to go to Indiana last
year.
Yeah,
would have scooped him up. But I tell you, Wichita State just keeps. Maybe it's the Koch brothers. I don't know. Maybe they just say, hey, if you need any extra money to pay for Coach Marshall, just hit us up. We'll write out a check for you. But he'll figure it out. He's a really good coach, and they're
too good.
It's almost like they've got too many players. It really is. They've got so many good players. I mean, Samaje Haynes Jones doesn't play much anymore.
The former Wichita East,
yeah,
Blue Ace,
yeah, Hutchinson JUCO All American. You know, his minutes have gone down, and I think Greg Marshall is trying to settle on a rotation. You know, Bill Self's basically down to seven guys. You know, Sam Cunliffe doesn't play because the ball
dribble the ball off his face.
Yeah, he blocks the, you know. And then, Marcus Garrett's minutes have got down. Lightfoot's playing about half the game because Adoka just gets in foul trouble or gets tired. So, I mean, this is the time of year coaches really shorten up their rotations.
We want to talk about the Super Bowl coming up next. But before we do that, we might not have enough time to get to this at the end. Big 12 basketball on Saturday. KU will be at home against Oklahoma State. K-State goes on the road to West Virginia. KU still with a one-game lead over both Texas Tech and OU. K-State 2 games back of the Jayhawks, but they are even in the standings with West Virginia. So the winner of this goes up or the loser goes down.
Somebody is going to be probably in big trouble after Saturday. One of those two teams, because KU should take care of Oklahoma State. And then they got another home game. Their next game is a home game. So, you know, KU should win their next 2 games because they're at Allen. Although that, you know, this year that's not been as...
They'll be against TCU next week.
TCU.
On Tuesday.
And TCU always plays them tough. So, but K-State, West Virginia, one of those teams. And then I think Oklahoma's in Texas maybe. Is that right?
Oklahoma is at Texas.
Red River Showdown. And Texas, you know, they just ugly a game up enough to cause problems. But I think Trae Young goes absolutely ballistic in that game.
So we talked about it at the beginning of this week with KU taking on K-State. This was a big week for them because of the KU game and then the West Virginia game. And it was the turning point in their season where if K-State would have found a way to beat KU and if they could go on the road and win in Morgantown, they might just win this whole thing. But now, if they lose both, they are not only
in
trouble in
terms of getting in. And West Virginia's lost, what? West Virginia's lost 2 or 3 in a row.
Three in a row.
West Virginia, and they've lost, you know, they lost to KU at home. So West Virginia, really, to me, they have to win all their home games the rest of the way, that's for sure.
We'll take a break. When we come back, it's time to take a look at the Super Bowl coming up on Sunday. We'll give you everything you need to know about that, as well as some of our picks. And then later on in the show, we go through our Super Bowl prop bets. You're listening to According to Jim on 96.7 FM KBBE.
You're listening to the According to Jim podcast with Jim Joyner and Steve Sell. According to Jim is brought to you by Great Plains Federal Credit Union, Calabrese Heating and Cooling, and Four Seasons Realtors. You can also listen live Monday through Friday from 12:30 to 1 p.m. on 96.7 FM KBBE or online at midkansasonline.com.
Back in on today's According to Jim, 96.7 FM KBBE or online at midkansasonline.com. Jim Joyner and Steve Sell, if you have missed any of today's show, you want to go back and listen to anything on podcast, you go to soundcloud.com/KBBE Sports, as Steve Sell shakes his head over there. He still hasn't quite got with the program yet.
It's all over my... It's high tech for me.
Well, we've got the big game coming up on Sunday, Steve. I'm just going to go ahead and call it the Super Bowl. I know some people like to get all worried about that. The Super Bowl coming up on Sunday, the Eagles and the Patriots. As weird as this game seems, I guess I kind of forgot that both teams were 13-3 in the regular season. I had kind of forgotten about that. And even though this feels like this big underdog game for the Eagles, these are both the number one teams making it through.
And that's something we don't see very often.
No.
Two number ones.
So for me, I don't know if we've really even talked about this yet. For me, I think that there's this big storyline of the Eagles are going to have to find a way to do it. It's going to be this low-scoring game. Philly is going to do this. New England won't be able to stop this. Tom Brady. Listen, I may have been a little down on the Patriots throughout the regular season, a little down on them throughout the postseason and picking against them. But one thing I've learned, Tom Brady and New England are going to have no troubles on Sunday.
Ooh, okay.
I have a pretty good feeling about that. Now, it might be a 10-point game, but I think they will comfortably win on Sunday.
I'm not going to bet against you. The role you have been on lately and me picking everything wrong, I mean, I'm not the person that should be calling you out on that. So if you say it's going to be comfortable, well, I got to think it's going to be comfortable.
I just have this feeling that New England's not going to mess around. They've been there too many times. When you play in 8 Super Bowls as Tom Brady, when you've coached in them, like Bill Belichick, well, God, he's coached in like 11 because of his days with Bill Parcells and
the Giants,
and coaching in some of those Super Bowls. Those guys will not be rattled by anything that happens this week. And the theme that I've been hearing all week is the Super Bowl is a different animal, not only because it's an intense game and there's the pressure, but everything is done differently, where you get out of a rhythm. You, instead of getting to the stadium 2.5 hours early, you get there 4.5 hours early. You have a long halftime show. You have a second half that it feels like it was 3 hours after the first half began. Everything is different.
You've had a week off.
Right. everything is different about this game. And Steve, I think that you have been around me enough that you know I get into routines when it comes to me getting ready for a game.
Mm-hmm.
We like to leave at about the same time.
Right.
I like to do things about the same way.
Right.
When you get out of that routine, sometimes it really messes with you. And especially for a young, well, I guess Nick Foles is not a young quarterback, but
an inexperienced
quarterback in a Super Bowl. Where Tom Brady, he knows what he's going to have to do. And New England just finds a way. And the theme that I've been hearing from everybody is New England never scores early in the game. They never score first. They've never scored in the first quarter of a Super Bowl they've been in. I just have this feeling New England's going to comfortably win and dominate this game from the very beginning.
Okay, let me give my point counterpoint to that.
I want to hear it.
I think Philadelphia's defense is going to be outstanding. They're going to blitz Brady like crazy. I don't think you'll ever see a Super Bowl where a quarterback gets blitzed more than Philadelphia is going to blitz Brady. They want to get him out of his comfort zone. They want to knock him down. I think Philadelphia is going to hammer away with LeGarrette Blount, who absolutely killed me in fantasy football this year. Because he didn't get any touchdowns. I think he's going to run inspired. New England's defense, we saw them against the Chiefs. They weren't very good. Now, by the end of the year, I believe they were in the top five or six in the NFL. But I just think Philadelphia's got a lot of things that's positive for them. Do I think they're going to win? No. But I think it's going to be a lot closer game than what you think it is. It just seems like, though, we've kind of gone every other Super Bowl hasn't been here recently. Every other Super Bowl hasn't been very good. It's going to be hard to top last year's
Super
Bowl.
Last year was pretty good.
Yeah. Last year's
bad. But the Carolina-Denver one, that was about the most boring game I've watched.
Right. And then the year before, New England played somebody.
They played Seattle.
And it was a 28-24 or something like that.
Then the year before that was Seattle against Denver.
Right.
When the first snap of the game went over Forehead's head out the back of the end zone.
Yeah.
You know who I'm referring to.
Yeah, yeah.
Peyton Manning.
Yeah, and it just seems like every other Super Bowl is just almost a class. Last year's Super Bowl may have been the best ever. I really believe that. You put it up with that Giants-Patriots game the year where they had the great catch.
David Tyree.
Or Seattle. Seattle was playing New England. And instead of giving it to Marshawn Lynch from the 6-inch line, they try to pass and gets picked off. And Beast Mode is never for, you know, Beast Mode would have been going to Disneyland if he'd scored that touchdown, or maybe to Oakland, you know, where he likes to hang out. But it just seems like we either have a great Super Bowl or it's kind of a, there's no in between Super Bowl. And of course, I've seen all, how many is this? 52, 53?
This is the 52nd
Super Bowl. This is the 52nd. I have seen them all. So, you know, I can go back and there was a stretch there of about 3 or 4 years. There were some absolute clunkers in there. The 55-10 game.
I think some of the games in the 90s were.
Oh, they were horrible. I think it was 49ers beat Denver like 55-10, and Denver had started up 10-0 that game. And
what a bummer!
Yeah,
I hate to see that.
Yeah, so I've seen them all. I watched the, you know, I saw the Chiefs Packers. I saw the Raiders Packers in the first
what about
two.
Chiefs Vikings. You stay up late.
Yeah,
to watch
I remember
that.
Otis Taylor high stepping it, and of course Joe Willie Namath guaranteeing the victory in Super Bowl III. I remember those early Super Bowls when it was AFL NFL instead of AFC NFC.
Well, there's another thing I wanted to hit on before we take a break and look at our Super Bowl prop bets. There's all this discussion around the NFL right now. Oh, the ratings are down. Nobody's going to watch this Super Bowl. If you still think that, I don't know what kind of drugs you're on. The ratings have been really good for the NFL all year. And this is the Super Bowl, and you look at the markets that you're attacking here. You get New England's market and all the people that not only love New England, but hate New England.
Right.
So you get the New York market.
Yeah.
Then you get the Philadelphia market.
Pretty big market.
When you get those two teams that are very well liked throughout the country, similar to the Steelers, where they are so liked everywhere, similar to the Packers, these are two top-tier franchises.
But do the people out west care?
Yes, I think so.
Okay.
I still think that this will be a very highly rated Super Bowl. If not, maybe the highest rated Super Bowl ever. Because now there are so many different ways for people to watch, where if you can think 30 years ago, you had to be in front of the TV. Now there are ways you can watch on your phone, you can stream it, you can watch highlights on your phone.
Mm-hmm.
There are all these different ways to watch. I think you can even watch it on Hulu. Are you familiar with Hulu, Steve? It's kind of like Netflix.
Yeah, right. I don't know. I don't know what that is.
Well, you can watch this game in a whole lot of different ways. And with the storylines that are going on with this one, you get Tom Brady in the Super Bowl. The ratings
Tom
are going
Brady
to blow
equals
through
ratings.
The roof.
Tom Brady equals ratings. Let's just face it. If it had been Jacksonville and Philadelphia, I think it would have been the least watched Super Bowl in NFL history. I'll guarantee you that.
One of my friends was going, well, I want New England to win because I want it to be a good game. I want to watch. And I made the comment, it doesn't matter who's in the game.
You're going to watch.
People are going to watch. Yeah. I'm going to watch. It could be the Tennessee Titans practice squad against the Mound Ridge JV team.
The Junior Dridgers.
Like, I'd watch it. Yeah. I'd watch it just for the halftime show.
Yeah.
So when it comes to people worried about ratings, ratings are going to be really good this weekend, and I can already guarantee it. Game starts at 5:30 as it's listed on ESPN, which means it probably won't start until like 6:45.
Yeah.
So I don't know what the heck is going on.
They're generally pretty good about – because they got a schedule they got to stay on. Who is it, NBC this year?
NBC.
Well, they probably have some
– Al Michaels.
They probably have some show that runs after the Super Bowl. It's some show that they want everybody to
watch. Chicago Fire.
Yeah, something like that.
Chicago Medics.
They always use the Super Bowl as a lead-in.
Chicago PD. All right, well, we'll take our last break when we come back. Time to go through our Super Bowl prop bets. You're listening to According to Jim on 96.7 FM KBBE.
You're listening to the According to Jim podcast with Jim Joyner and Steve Self. According to Jim is brought to you by Great Plains Federal Credit Union, Calabrese Heating and Cooling, and Four Seasons Realtors. You can also listen live Monday through Friday from 12:30 to 1 p.m. on 96.7 FM KBBE or online at midkansasonline.com.
Wrapping up the week of According to Jim here on 96.7 FM KBBE or online at midkansasonline.com, we found out the big-time show that will be starting on NBC at the end of the Super Bowl, This Is Us.
And
it's Steve Sell's favorite show.
I've never even heard of it, but it's got to be a good show or they wouldn't be following it with the Super Bowl. I mean, it's not like they got Golden Girls or something on after the Super Bowl.
Nothing better than the Golden Girls.
Well, a lot of people like Golden Girls, but...
Let's rephrase that. A lot of people liked the Golden Girls. I don't think all that many people are so into
it now. Another loyal listener calling in, because we really enjoy when people call in while we're on break. If there's something we say and we don't know, somebody's out there listening.
There's a lot of things that we say that we don't
know. Well, I'm as clueless as they come. So, I kind of live in a bubble.
Somebody's going to call and describe Hulu to Steve.
Yeah.
And that's what we're hoping to see.
But nobody's called and yelled at me today. I've had a lot of people yell at me lately about things I say. And they just come off the top of my head.
You're the worst.
I have no... Oh, yeah, I am. I am the worst person in the world, like Keith Olbermann used to have. I would have won that award every day, probably.
Well, let's take a look at the prop bets for this year's Super Bowl. I know there are a lot of people that probably don't care all that much, but I find this to be really interesting to see who comes up with these, where these lines are set. Before we look at some of the funner, more fun ones.
There you go.
Let's look at the in-game prop bets. So how about this one? The first scoring play of the game will be over or under 22.5 yards.
Under.
I took the under, too. I just think your odds are better that you get down to the goal line and you score a touchdown than a 23-yard play.
Okay.
I like that. First offensive play of the game, run or pass?
Play action pass.
Ooh, okay. So I'm going with run. I just think they're going to start the game
off
with
a run. Well, if it's Philadelphia, it's going to be a... I have to rephrase
it. See, that's why you have to think about it.
Yeah, you got to think about that. If it's Brady, he's going to throw. Philadelphia will run LeGarrette Blount.
First turnover of the game.
Philadelphia gets it.
No, the type of turnover. Interception, fumble,
Fumble. I'm going to say a fumble.
Okay, I said interception. Will there be a missed extra point after a touchdown?
No.
Okay, I put no as well. Will the team that scores first win the game?
No.
Okay, I put yes.
I'm thinking Philadelphia is going to score first.
Total touchdouns, over, under, 4.5.
I have under.
You had 5, I think, or
I
maybe
do.
4.
Yeah.
You said 20 to 14, 24
have,
to 20.
I have 20. Well, I'll say my pick at the end, but I have 3. Well, I don't want to say that either. So I have 5 touchdowns. I'll just say that. Okay.
Will a 2-point conversion be successful in the game?
No.
Okay. How about the total number of penalties, over or under 12.5?
Under.
I said under as well. Who will score first in the second quarter? See, these are the ones that are hard where you
they
just
really
have
are.
To guess.
Yeah, it's just a guess. It really is. I mean, who has the ball? you know, somebody could have the ball at the end of the first quarter on the 1 yard line.
Will anybody except Brady or Foles take a snap in the game? Will they do any wildcat? Will they, and not including punts or field goals?
No.
Okay. One more fun one in, well, I guess this one is not really in game, but this is the day of the Super Bowl. We hit on it the other day. Donald Trump tweets on February the 4th. So from 12 a.m. to 11:59 p.m., will it be over or under 5.5?
Over.
I'm taking a hard over. He might be at 12. Especially if something weird happens in the pregame.
If somebody doesn't stand up for the national anthem.
Then we're going to get 50.
If somebody, and that would just be horror. I really hope nobody sits for the national anthem. Although it's the biggest stage and you're making a statement, I really hope that doesn't happen. Because Donald Trump, his orange hair will just come exploding off his head.
All right. Speaking of the national anthem, prop bets, Pink is singing the national anthem. Are you familiar
with Pink? Yeah.
P, I exclamation like, point, N, K.
Oh, I thought you meant Pink, the...
The singer, yeah.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. P-I-N-K.
Yeah.
Oh, I like her.
Well, she spells it with an exclamation point.
Oh, I didn't know that. I did not know that.
So, will she be wearing a Philadelphia Eagles shirt or hat while singing the anthem?
No.
Okay, I put no as well. Will she be airborne at any point during the national anthem? Ooh, bold move. I said no. I just don't think
she likes all that. She likes... I actually like Pink, and I know that's hard for people to believe, but she's got some good music.
All right, final one for the national anthem. Who will be shown first on TV during the singing of the anthem? Will it be Tom Brady or Nick Foles?
Oh, Tom Brady.
That's what I was thinking, too. But you never know.
I think actually it'll be Gisele Bündchen.
Yeah, there you go. All right, now with the halftime show. Will Justin Timberlake be wearing a hat at the start of his show?
No.
I put yes.
Really?
I got a feeling he's going to... He's got one of those chapeaux. Throw it off.
He likes those chapeaux or whatever they're called.
I think he will. What will be... Well, I guess this is not a very good question for you. I said, what will be his first song? And you wouldn't
have... No clue.
Have, be
I don't, even, I don't know one guess. Thing he's ever sung.
Will Justin Timberlake cover a Prince song during halftime? Because they're in Minneapolis. Prince is the son of Minnesota.
And he kind of likes...
He likes covering. He's a good singer. He's got the
voice
to cover
I'm
going to
say yes, because he's... I kind of like him when he's on Saturday Night Live. I think he's funny.
All right, the final one during the halftime show. Will any members of the musical group NSYNC that Justin Timberlake was in, will any of them show up to perform with him?
No.
You don't think so?
I hope not.
I got a feeling.
Okay.
I got a feeling that he's not going to sing a ton of his own stuff. He's going to use the help of other people. That's kind of been the theme for the last few years. That
I don't see it.
I think it's going to happen. Joey Fatone, I think that's his name. I think he's one of the NSYNC guys.
I don't know that.
I think there's a Chris Kirkpatrick. I think it will be fun.
I think they missed the boat by not having Skinner, but that's just me.
All right, final one. Patriots against the Eagles. New England, 5.5-point favorite. I've seen them at 4 at some places. I've seen it at 6 at some places. Let's go with 5.5. What do you think?
They cover.
Okay.
I picked 24-17 New England.
All right, I'm taking a big-time New England cover. I wish it could be like 7 or 8 or 10. I'd still go with it. So I think the Patriots will be the Super Bowl champions when we talk with you again on Monday, Steve.
And then if we're both wrong, everybody can call in. That's the beauty. When we're wrong, people love to rub it in our face.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, we don't know anything. I mean, we're just two guys just spouting off, so... You know,
so if the Eagles win, just call in and roast us.
Oh yeah,
that's what we're expecting.
Yeah, because everybody, you know, that's the easy way out. You know.
All right, that'll do it for this week of shows. We've got a fun weekend coming up. Steve and I are picking the Patriots, so let's hope that they can hold on to win. But I won't be upset if the Philadelphia Eagles find a way to win. For Steve Sell, I'm Jim Joyner. Thanks for listening to According to Jim. We'll talk with you next week.
According to Jim, with Jim Joyner and Steve Sell, was brought to you by Great Plains Federal Credit Union, Calabrese Heating and Cooling, and Four Seasons Realtors. Make sure to listen to According to Jim every weekday from 12:30 to 1 p.m. right here on 96.7 FM KBBE.